Welcome to the New Age Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Emily, an automotive corporate dropout turned certified practitioner coach, helping the visionaries and creators of today break free from the self-doubt and fear of judgment so they can create with confidence and make a difference in the world. This podcast aims to leave you feeling more aware than you were yesterday and inspired to live a fulfilled life, however that looks like for you. Welcome back to another episode, and this one is a super, super exciting one because our guest is one of the most amazing people that I have ever met. She is super inspiring, just an absolute epic human being, and her vision is just out of this world. I would like to introduce you to a dear friend of mine, Antoinette Raphael. She is the founder of Raw War, and Raw War is a Perth streetwear brand who has been recognized by the likes of British Vogue whilst showcasing internationally at London Fashion Week. They have been recognized at Milan Fashion Week and nationally in Melbourne, Australia. And it is just the most epic conversation, and I was so excited to have this as our first interview for the year. And we speak about how Antoinette built her brand to what it is now, how to deal with the backlash and negative comments when showcasing ideas and the actual brand itself. We cover building an audience online and content strategies, as well as the brand evolution and staying true to who you are and your values, plus so much more. And before we dive in, I just wanted to give a quick disclaimer because my audio wasn't that good in the recording, so I wanted to apologize about that. However, I'm still putting this episode out because it deserves to be listened to. And you know what? Like, done is better than perfect, right? And that's something that I want to share with you for all you perfectionists out there. So enjoy this conversation, and I cannot wait to hear what you get out of it.
What's up?
Hey.
What's How are up? You going?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for doing this with me today.
My pleasure. Super excited.
So cool. I'm so excited. And I just love what you're doing. And I just think it's really, really cool. And I think that
Thank you
inspire so many other people as well. So I wanted to chat about firstly, what is Raw War and what does that represent for anybody that hasn't heard of you or wanting to know a little bit more?
Yes. So Raw War is a clothing brand, and its name is derived from my own initials. So Antoinette Wadia Raphael rearranges to create the words Raw War. So basically it is a high-end streetwear brand, and the word raw represents something that's real, transparent, but also very true to who I am, which is the aesthetic of it and also how the name really is my name. And war links to something that has a bit of edge to it. So that links to the streetwear side of the brand too.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool. And how long has the brand been going for?
So it's been around 5 years, but majority was in university. So basically during uni, we did like a hypothetical brand development, and that was where I designed the logo and the name. And that's like... even the teacher kind of knew that I had a certain connection to the name and logo, and she said, maybe you should register it. So I did, and then I turned it into a social media page, put all my uni work, and then that's when it started.
Love that. That's so cool. And so how old were you when you actually, like, I guess, came out of uni and then fully launched into the brand and making it what it is?
I was 21, so I graduated. It was, the actual ceremony was September, and I had like my winter break. So during that time is when I was developing, at that time it was spring summer 19 collection. So that was when, it was like a week after my graduation, I flew to London. So that was where it was so cool. Like till now, I feel like that milestone was like one of my most proud, I think, because I literally got to take what I was just like awarded and like, I don't know how to explain it. So I was like literally like, it feels really proud because I was literally awarded something for something I've done. And then I was going to prove myself internationally, like in the next week. So it was crazy.
Wow. How did that even come about? Like, how did you going over to London and actually showcasing your like collection, how did that manifest?
So a lot of it started when it was around like 9 months before it was my graduation showcase. So mm-hmm. the last semester of uni was more so the last units that I had to do. So it was like I chose business units so I could kind of have a grasp about what I was going to turn these designs into or how to market them in a sense. So I advertised the grad show a lot, and then this ended up, when you post a lot on Instagram, as a lot of people would know, there's a lot of really great algorithm paths that they can take you. So that was when I got reached out by, a company in Melbourne. So then that's when I had my first show, and then it kind of trickled with that. And then I ended up being asked to go to London, which was crazy. Still to this moment, I like we can't even travel in like internationally, and like I took like it feels like sometimes I took that for granted, but it was an incredible experience for sure.
So amazing. And just going back to the whole Instagram thing, so
yeah,
did you learn about the Instagram algorithm? Like, were you playing that to your advantage, or was that like a bit of a just put it out there and kind of see how you go, and then that then attracted the people for the Melbourne show and then taking that further into London?
Yeah, it was more so a natural thing, because the beginning when I like did register the name, I would naturally put all of my like assignment work once it was finished on the Instagram page. So I kind of like, because of how consistent all the assignments were, I was consistently posting like process, and then I would post the final, and then I would be doing work during holidays just as a hobby in a sense. So when it hit my grad show, I was given so much content from both the campaign and the actual runway that we all like created together. So I would post so much about it that it was, and even the Melbourne show was crazy that all that content, and I would just like evenly like post it just so people could see it in like in doses in a sense. But then that actually became quite an advantage for me without me even knowing, which was really great for me for sure.
Yeah. So you were like essentially building that audience as you were going without you even realizing.
Yes. Yeah. Cause people like, there's like a whole other people you can employ to kind of like help you out with when to post. And like, like obviously with the, like with less like large shows that I'm doing, it can affect the amount of people that can see your work sort of thing. So that's a high, like content and posting is so important. So so me naturally just wanting to show people what I was up to was very beneficial. Took me to other places.
That's cool. And do you have like some sort of strategy now for Instagram?
So everything that happens each day, I make sure to always photograph all my process. And even if I'm working on something, or if I go visit the production and see what they're doing, I always take little snippets. So because the highest, the most engaging content on social media right now is Reels and TikTok. So really ensuring that I'm filming small bits. So even if I were to post how I made this product or the process of, say, this project or this custom, I've got a lot of video content, so it's more so shifted to video. So even though it's quite a competitive kind of feed, really is, but definitely video number one for me for content. Yeah,
that's cool. So pretty much wherever you go, you're just taking video, and then when you then go to post, you've got all that content to choose from and create, rather than
exactly
kind of sit there and be like, fire out, what am I going to post, or what am I going to create? You
know, for sure. And like, and being fortunate to do like a lot of shoots, like I did a shoot a few weeks ago, and I collaborated with this studio called Anti Studio. So there's more content coming out of that. So it's always trying to like kind of, what's the phrase, like dip your toes and everything. So you have experiment with everything and like kind of try everything like as much as you can at the same time, but ensuring that you've got every like variety of the brand like kind of targeted at the same time, for sure.
Yeah. And how do you search for that, or how is that like a vision and for you, how does that manifest?
So in relation to like spreading into different environments,
how do you choose what you're going to try, or is it just depending on feel? Is it, what is that for you?
A lot of it's been trial and error, because you like whenever you start, you're like, you can easily like trust in collaborating or working with someone in a sense. So at the beginning, it was always like I'd try everything really, but I feel like recent times I've kind of been very particular with what I work with. And also when you keep growing the brand, it's like your morals have to be super strong in a sense. So you got to like know who's wearing it. And in a sense, so if you were to do like a campaign, or if you were to collaborate with someone, you'd want the morals of the brand to stay the same and to not ever shift for anything else. So it's very particular, but a lot of it comes from my own personal like networking. And definitely when you meet someone and you talk to them and you vibe with them, you kind of feel like if it's smooth, you know that you want to work with them. And when you can see like a common understanding, a common common perspective, then it's super easy to say yes to that, for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. And I just wanted to go like come back and touch on like the morals and your values as well, like how powerful that actually is of knowing who you are, who your brand is, and what you stand for.
Sure. Yeah.
Because otherwise by having that, you're positioning yourself as like something individual rather than just letting anything happen, collaborating with anyone and just accepting anything, then you're just like everyone else.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. And I think like it's always an important thing, like as coming back to like the name of the brand and how it's transparent to who I am. So I've got to always stay unique to myself. And I think that always like, do you know when people bring up the concept of being different, but it's more so being different is just being yourself. And I think that brands will always aesthetically and morally stay really unique and stand out if they're always true to the people creating it, in a sense, or the founder. Like even if you look at any house or any brand you can think of, they say if it's like a quite an old brand that began many moons ago, they still continually bring it back to the founder, because then they've kind of like built that foundation, and then that's what kept them always unique in all that time. So definitely staying true to the people that are growing it or have grown it all together, sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. I love that. And I think that's super important as well, like not only in like in the work perspective or creating a personal brand, but also like within yourself as well, and just honoring like who you are. Because definitely, I find, and I know that we've kind of spoken about this and touched on it like before, but when you're different and you've got ideas and you're wanting to create something that isn't essentially not the norm or the conventional, it's not really seen as something that's encouraged.
And it's, for sure. We've definitely had comments about this in my like most like annoyed, oh my god, like it's just like it's so crazy that like that's like someone wants to like develop like a god-given talent is shunned upon in some like perspectives, like traditional perspectives, which is like, it's so aggravating. Like if you think about like some people, like say like Apple, like we're using, like are you using an Apple product? Same as me, you know. Do you have AirPods on?
AirPods, so like Mac, iPhone.
everything. So the things that everyone uses day to day to make things like run and for everything to be efficient, was once like someone's God-given inner ability to kind of create something that wasn't ever seen before. So like to people that want to like attempt to like interrupt that procedure, it just doesn't make sense to me. So
I completely agree. And there's so many people out there, and I know there's probably a lot of people listening as well to this, that have a dream, have a vision for what they want, or have this like inner creativity and also talents that they want to expand on or pursue, but because of the judgment and the lack of encouragement, it really deters people from actually taking that action, and even the support's just not there. Even just trying it.
For sure. And I feel like I was super fortunate. It was around 2 weeks ago to go back to my high school. And I think like even some of them, like they just enjoyed listening. But some people came up and spoke to me, and it just felt so good that I could kind of show them that like hard work, everything takes hard work. But
of course,
if you are really determined, I know that anything's possible. And I think that like if you, like even if it's just a hobby, say if you don't really feel like taking it all the way, it's like, it's so great to like keep honing at that God-given talent that you're like, that is within you. And that's something like you always know what it is because you naturally are drawn to it. It's like your therapy or something like that. And I think that even if it's just your hobby, always take time to nurture it, because it just mentally makes you feel better, you know?
100%. And I think that's something that I'm definitely super passionate about and encouraging other people to do, is like, do things that you love, because without that, what is the point of being here?
I always say that it's like, say if I know money is a large necessity, of course, but I'm like, I always think about it. If what you did didn't give you that money, or it was, we lived in another whole different form of universe where currency wasn't a thing, would you still be doing the same thing? And some people, like there's a lot of people that would question, because people 100%. Do value that a lot, which it's an essential, but you've got to take time for things that you love to do, you know?
Absolutely. And honoring that as well, and not being ashamed of wanting that or doing something different.
Yeah.
Just because that might not be classified as the traditional pathway or the norm.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I love like coming back to that question as well. If you weren't getting paid, like if your job or whatever you're doing, if you weren't getting paid for it, would you actually be doing that? Because I know I've asked that question to myself, and no. And you know, making those decisions as well. And how courageous if you do take action on something that you do love, even if it is, like you said, a hobby. And I mean, define taking it all away. Is taking it all the way, making it like a full business? Is it just having it as a hobby? Is it dabbling in it every single day? Is it helping someone else? Like whatever that is.
It can be anything, really. It's just more so what you're naturally drawn to. It's always like the hobby is something that like a hobby is, it can be a skill, because it's like it's always something that you can naturally do. It's like how someone would love to do their gardening, you know what I mean? People turn that to a business, but other people love to do that on the Sundays, you know? It takes them away, you know? It's very essential to have like a balance, for sure.
Absolutely. And I was having a conversation with someone else about this, of our natural abilities and how much we like discredit them and just disregard it, because we just think, okay, you know, yeah, it's something that I can do, it's not special. But like that makes it even more special that you have that natural ability to do that and create something.
I know,
like why does it have to be like, I know about like what we said, it does take hard work, but if you find something comes naturally to you, why not expand that and make that even more of what that is, because you're natural at that more than somebody else, and that makes it unique and special to you.
Exactly. Like, do you know, I've got a lot of friends who do like side hustles, in a sense that they love to like to bake and things like that. So they do that in their spare time and like days off and things like that. And It's like, say I'm someone who I do enjoy cooking and things like that, but it's not my most ease of a skill. So I'm gonna leave that to someone else. So it's nice to then you can leave it to someone else and then they really enjoy doing it. So it's a benefit. So it's easy for you and they get to enjoy something and they feel so fulfilled by it, you know?
Mm, absolutely. And how do you kind of show up and stay true to you and your values, especially when faced with adversity and that, I guess, comments of non-encouragement, you know what I mean?
So we'll leave that to that, yeah.
We'll just leave that there.
I feel like someone who, like, well, it's kind of seen visually through, like, the edginess of the clothing. I always respond to things with a little bit of anger in a sense. So I always aim to exert that really quickly through like music or driving or mostly just music. So say if something does affect me and I'm just at home, I normally just play some music just that will either relax me or exert any like negative energy instead of exerting it at the individual who might have come at me with some negative energy. So I always like try to exert it and I mean everyone goes through times where they kind of doubt themselves, so I always try to,
of course,
just completely distract myself, watch interviews, things like this. Like I love listening to people discuss certain ideas, so just time alone and ensuring that someone else's opinion doesn't ever interrupt my journey, for sure.
Yeah, I love that, and it's just,
thank you.
Yeah, I think that's super, super important. Not allowing somebody else's view to interrupt your pathway and your vision. And like, I know self-doubt and feeling like you're not worthy or like imposter syndrome and all that kind of stuff plays a huge part in a lot of people, especially either one, not taking action or starting something and then just completely getting consumed by what other people think or the comments that they say, and then they just completely doubt themselves so much that they just give it up. Have you ever experienced like a moment of like self-doubt or that feeling of imposter syndrome at all?
I think the biggest one was, because I'm known to be quite a perfectionist, so like I think the main one was it was my first launch of any product was like retail wise was in 2017. It was in like mid-year, and I produced these t-shirts and crop tops that I designed and drafted in university. So they were very abstract in a sense, so they had like a Japanese cut to them, which they were very unique and super cool, but they only catered to a particular small market, and that not being a lot of Perth. So I did have a launch and a lot did sell, but I was that much of a perfectionist that I assumed that things had to be sold out. And it was like right before I had to start doing my final projects for uni in that semester. And I extremely doubted myself, thinking that I had to sell things out when that's not the case. And I kind of, over the time, I kind of realized that I've been listening to like a lot of designers speak, and they kind of said growing a business, whether it's fashion or not, it should maintain progressively. So I heard someone say per year it's around 4.5% increase if you want to slowly and surely maintain a company. So and with streetwear, it comes with a lot of gray areas, because you feel like you must sell these t-shirts out to be hype, and hype doesn't last, you know. So and that's not even streetwear. There's some, like, I was discussing this point with my mom about whenever there's a dress that say Kate Middleton wears, it just like sells out immediately, but there could be like a high point for that brand, and then when she doesn't wear it again, it drops again. So I think even though I doubted myself a lot, and there was a moment that I thought maybe I couldn't do it, but I then quickly learned that like it must be progressive growth to maintain something that you want to keep for a long time. So
absolutely. And I love that, because I feel like there's just so much that we see on social media and in society of like overnight success. Did this quickly. You need to like hustle so much. You need to do all this. Like it needs to be now. You need to have it in a month, 6 months or whatever that is. Like it's always so quick.
Yeah.
But like in reality, that's not sustainable to get to that point.
No, it's not.
And it won't last.
It really won't last. Yeah.
No. And I think the magic comes in with like just showing up every day and just constantly, like you said, if it is that 4% every year, it's like, okay, well, what is that going to take? Is that not listening to those four people that give you any doubt and you just keep showing up and doing your own thing? Is it just spending one more night doing it or just taking one more setback or just continuing to show up? Because I think that's where the difference is between like, you know, driven and successful people and
for
the people that give up on their dreams. It's like, if you continue, then you're not giving up. It's just, you're still going and you're growing.
Exactly. Like that reminds me, I've been listening to this artist called Giveon. Do you know him? Have you heard of his music before?
No, but I'll have to get onto that.
You should. He's super cool. His voice is incredible. Maybe you've heard the song called Heartbreak Anniversary.
Have you heard of it? Maybe. Send it to me. I'm like, I'll listen to all this music and I love it. And I'm like, don't know the person, don't know the song. And I'll just add it. I'm like, yeah, I know that song.
So like I was listening to his music a lot and I was like, whenever I listen to an artist, I want to kind of learn more about him. So I first heard about him because he was in that song Peaches with Justin Bieber.
Right, okay.
So he's one of them in there, yeah. So, and he was kind of talking about the concept of success. So the way that he was, while he was working, he was progressively like creating music whenever he could because he naturally loved to do it. So that was his God-given skill and talent. And then he said that he was talking about the concept of, which I also have a strong perspective about, is that people think success can be like all about luck. When he labeled it as preparation and opportunity meet together and then you create success. So he was then founded by, I think it was 2019, I think. And or was it? Yeah, it was 2019. And then he had already prepared work. So by the time he was then given the opportunity and advertised a lot, he then became successful. And people called it overnight, but he progressively worked until that opportunity came. So it's super important to always just be chipping away at something for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I feel like that is where a lot of people get, what's the word? Disappointed, because from the outside, when you view all this, you know, people are labeled overnight successes, but they're not actually seeing that real life stuff.
Yeah, it's one gets to see it. Yeah.
It's the years before then, it's the late nights, it's the stressing, it's the overthinking, it's the doubting, it's all that other stuff that comes into it.
Definitely.
But all we see is highlight reel success, wins, and like none of the other stuff. And
exactly.
It's like the magic happens in all the other stuff.
Oh,
really?
For sure. And like sometimes the journey is like even more exciting. It's as exciting as where you're going. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like, yeah, I always love the process of stuff. Yeah,
yeah. And I know that sounds like cheesy, but like it is. It is the journey, and that's what you learn, and that's where you grow. It's not. It's not. And like, where is the end point? Really?
Yeah. Like whenever you get to a goal, you just want to keep growing. So it's the entire like process, and the success is the journey. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so if you were to give any advice to like anyone listening here about wanting to create something of their own and they are fearful of getting, you know, some comments of like doubt and maybe discouragement, what would you say to them?
I know this can be a little bit difficult because sometimes even they could be like very close people that you can't really distance from that may be negative, but always try your best to surround yourself with the most positive people. And even even if there are people that do doubt you and there's like an obligation to see them, it's kind of limiting how much you do expose of it. You know what I mean? So like bringing up in conversation, you can limit that if you know that you might get backlash. Do you know what I mean? So so it's the positive energy and also the selection of discussion for sure.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And then speaking about inspiration, I'd love to know, firstly, what inspired you to actually like start designing? Were you designing and wanting to do this when you were like younger? Like, where did this actually come from?
So my first memory of fashion is from my mum. So she used to dress me and my sister in the exact same outfit. So my sister's 2 years older than me, but I was like, I developed very quickly when I was a baby. So I basically looked like her. I was a little chubby baby. So we wore the same size sometimes as well. So I used to think we're twins because we used to dress head to toe the same. It was the cutest thing. But the
I've
main
seen
thing
them.
That really
they're cute.
Yeah, cute.
They're so cute.
I think the main thing that she kind of like taught me from that initial experience is that dressing head to toe and the idea of looking presentable is super important. And it's not just a visual thing, it's like a mental thing as well. So you feel prepared, you feel confident in a sense. So I then like having that kind of that value already like embedded in within me, I was then exposed to things like paper cutout dolls. So I would like, and then like you get like Bratz dolls and things like that when you're younger.
Yeah.
So I would then transfer that value and love into the doll's appearance sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I then learned that I had an inbuilt skill to illustrate. So I love to draw and things like that. So then when I went to high school, we were taught how to hand sew and machine sew. So I'd only illustrated fashion, and then I was taught how to create fashion. So I think the turning point and the time where I knew I really wanted to take this into a career was I would have been 13 at the time, so year 8, and we were taught how to machine sew. And our first project was pajama shorts. So I made a pajama shorts, and then we had to buy a top and kind of add something to it to match the bottom. So I just naturally fell in love with the idea of creating and also using your skill to create something that no one else had, sort of thing. So, and it was just natural for me to draw onto a mannequin. I just felt like it was, it was just very natural within me. So then during high school, I then developed art and textile classes, so sewing. And then I just knew that even though I was doing academic courses, I just knew I wanted to develop this creative side. So I then went and studied fashion design. And then the rest is history.
I love that. That is so, so cool. And did you have like the support around you when making that decision from like going to study fashion design instead of going to do something else more academic, should we say?
Yeah, for sure. My immediate family were super supportive. It was more so an outer like traditional side of the family that saw that I did really well in my last ATAR results, that they kind of assumed that I would naturally just take that into an academia pathway.
Yeah.
But even though like I really enjoy like classes like mathematics and I really excelled in them, but I use them now for like measuring and creating the paper patterns that turn into the garments. So kind of like there were people that weren't supportive, but I knew that even though those people might have been close to me, I knew that I was the one who had to like build my own life, you know? And I always feel that like your decisions should always be like at your own discretion in a sense, because like my mom always tells me this quote that's like you have to lay your own head in bed at night. You have to be happy with your decision. So I always had to like I just always knew that like even if other people didn't agree, but I did, I always followed what I thought.
For sure. That's super, super powerful. And I love what your mum said as well, because it's so true. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a different view of the world. They're going to have different values. They have different upbringing, which then determine how they see the world. However, they're not living your life. They're not the ones making your decision. They're not the ones having to live in your body, to be with your family and friends, to live that life. And you're the only one that has to deal with your life. Like, that's you. So important. Like, are you going to make the decision to take on views of other people, or are you going to do what's right for you and what's true for you that you can live with?
Definitely. It's 100%. It should be priority. Like, as much as we should be in service of everyone, which is true with every career, but it should definitely come from a genuine spot. Like, you want to be somewhere,
Yeah,
you want to be
absolutely.
In that position. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And I think that's where even more service comes, when you actually are passionate and want to do it. It then makes the giving and the serving even more amplified and so much more meaningful.
Exactly.
Rather than coming from, well, I was told to do this and I have to do this. It's not actually, that is a completely different energy to I'm passionate about this and I want this.
And you can feel it. Like, if someone's serving you and they don't want to, you can tell. You know what
100%.
I mean?
100%.
You can tell.
Oh, my God.
There's too many.
100%. Okay, and then the second part of that question in regards to inspiration, what keeps you inspired?
Yes. I would say, again, it'd be music. I'm very inspired by music. So listening to different genres, but particularly rap, R&B, but a lot of it, I also love the music video side of those particular songs. So it's always interesting to listen to a song, really fall in love with it, and then seeing how they've artistically visually displayed it on the screen. So music for sure. And a lot of it, since my graduate collection, which was kind of the foundation of the aesthetic of the brand, a lot of it is inspired by vehicles. So, as Emily does know, my family is in cars. and there's there's a variety of different vehicles that I've always just grown up with, having different vehicles in front of me. And so visually, the design of them, both exterior and interior, the fabrics, the linings, that's very very inspiring to me. So a lot of the jackets you'd see that would have quilted lines on it, so that's really inspired by the linings of, say, a Lamborghini or a very luxury sports car that would have linings like that. So
yeah,
definitely family based as well.
That's cool. That's so cool. So what's your dream vehicle then? What's the ultimate?
The ultimate, it had to be a Lamborghini. The sports car, the two-door or the four-drive, The four-drive, you can drive that any day, So I feel like that would be more of an investment.
100%. That'd be way more practical, right?
For sure.
That's so good.
I'm thinking about the functional parts of it as well.
Function meets, style and vibe.
Oh, that's raw as well.
That's so good. So you'd mentioned before about watching interviews and, staying kind of true to what's important to you, and I guess just reducing the noise of the not supportive. Who do you look up to, and who are your role models? Who do you go to? Where's that mentor kind of inspiration? Okay. Who's that for you?
There'd be quite a few. I'd say my mum is a really strong mentor for me, very, very, it's more so the emotional side and the mental side as well. So it's kind of and she was the one who taught me all about her passion for fashion. So I always draw back to her for that. And then every member of my family, I kind of draw I feed off in a sense. So like Dad with his design and perspective, Tabitha with her perspective, and Jacob. So, but
love that.
But there was two really strong mentors. One unfortunately passed away recently. So Virgil Abloh of Off-White and Louis Vuitton. He was someone I looked up to my entire university career and outside of that too. So, and Kanye West. So everyone knows I'm a big Kanye West fan. Yeah. So both used to collaborate together as well. So kind of like me watching every single video they had kind of been a part of, both creatively but also like interview based, kind of made me feel like I knew them in a sense, and kind of saw that they took their creativity to the highest level they could, and they're continually doing that. So especially Kanye, so through Virgil as well. So it's kind of like they're two mentors I've never met before, but I feel that following their life, I've kind of felt that they're a mentor for me. So
absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool. And you know, for anyone listening as well, like it doesn't, yeah, okay, mentors to work with like one-on-one or have them quite close to you, yeah, but also that mentor inspiration as well of
yes,
okay,
it's a big one.
Is somebody doing what you actually want to be doing? Well, go and replicate that and find out like what are the successful things are they doing, and then
even
you
like
can
lifestyle
embody that
as well, like to see how they like sometimes they would have videos about what they do day to day, and you kind of see that they take time for this and they take time for that, and you can kind of draw inspiration even from their personal life as well, which can be beneficial. Yeah,
100%. Are there any particular like day-to-day traits or rituals that you have taken in your taken into incorporation into your own life from them?
I've heard a lot about how it's really beneficial to wake up at the same time every day, so I aim to do so. It depends if I've like been working the night before or something like that, which it's either if it's a shoot or something I will change that, but I think progressively having the same time you wake up kind of gives you an average time to work on particular things each day sort of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sure. That's really really cool.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay, and I want to know, what is the best advice that you've ever received?
That's a good one, actually. I mean, I could say, like, staying true to yourself. I mean, that's a really big one. But, oh, my God, there was one at the top of my tongue.
Well, I want to just touch on that, like being true to yourself.
Yeah.
Like that there is just super powerful on its own. And don't think we're encouraged enough to do that or accepted enough to do that.
Yeah.
And like now's the time. Things are changing in the world. Things are changing.
Yeah.
We need to change this, and we need to be more supportive and acceptive of who everyone is and what they want. And when you stay true to you, like that's where that happiness, that confidence, that calmness comes from, rather than living in that like panic anxious state worrying about what everyone's thinking,
what you should be doing.
I
remember in school they'd always tell us like only you can be you because everyone's taken, sort of thing. And I'm like, and they used to repeat it that much that it became like when you repeat something, it loses the meaning of it. But like progressively, when I like came back and touched on that concept, I would label that maybe as the best advice because it's so true. Like people try to be like someone else when someone else is already being themselves, when you should work on being yourself.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what have you got coming up for Raw War that we can possibly look out for? Like, I know that you can probably only share so much, but what have you got in the pipeline?
Yes. So I've got quite a few customs coming out, and some of them are collaborations. So when that gets posted, I can reveal some more. But I'm working on a summer collection at the moment. So very much inspired by since like my travels to Europe around 2 years ago, I feel like my perspective on summer wear has kind of shifted into something that's very European. So it holds a lot of attitude. So I'm kind of linking to things I might have worn back then. And I'm taking the monogram print that I first released in winter and altering that for a winter vibe. And there'll be a new accessory as well.
I'm so looking forward to this.
There's going to be some imagery releasing this maybe this week about it. So
I'll be posting about it. Everyone keep on top of that.
I'll be the one wearing it first.
Awesome. Cool. That's so cool. So when it comes to like beliefs, I know that, you know, staying true to who you are and everything like that, what else do you believe to be true that you just like come back to and there's like non-negotiable on it?
Something this like is kind of backed up with a religious belief in a sense. I kind of feel that being quite like a, so I'm like, I'm a very strong believer in a sense of putting your life in God's hands, in a sense, because I always believe that say when people are like, oh, it's not possible, but it's like you haven't put your life in the hands of someone more powerful than us all, than this whole world, to kind of like believe that anything's possible if there's a higher being, in a sense. So like my belief is that anything is possible with a higher being. So I feel like if you have faith in anything, it really doesn't have to be a particular religion or anything like that, but having faith in something more powerful than you, it should kind of naturally feel that anything's possible.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, absolutely. And that is very, very powerful, regardless, like you said, if it's religion or God or whatever, believing in something, having that faith that anything
and that
is
purpose.
Possible. Yeah, and that purpose.
Yeah. Because that could be spiritual as well. It's like, it's not really like limited to a particular religion. So like, say if I'm like, so I'm a Christian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox. So like everything is like, it can, each denomination and each type of religion and spiritual, like the correlation is the higher power in a sense, or something that we believe in, that we can put our life into, you know?
Yeah.
So believing in that shows that like your life has purpose. So that purpose can be as large as it can be, really.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's cool. I love that. And before we finish up, I just wanted to ask some other little questions.
For sure.
What is one song that gets you super, super uplifted when you're like not feeling, like when you're feeling a bit down and you just need like a bit of a pump up? What is that go-to song for you?
Oh, it's gonna either be a Kanye West song or a Pop Smoke song. So I'm gonna have to put Dior by Pop Smoke.
Okay,
have you heard
cool.
that song before? Do you know the song?
No, it's and I'm gonna great. Have to listen it's, to it after this.
every Pop Smoke song just has so much energy, and like if you need the energy or you just want to exert it, it's like perfect.
Okay,
so he was my number one artist on Spotify this past year and the year before, so
thanks Spotify Unwrapped.
It showed that I was in like his top 0.05%. I'm like, maybe I was listening to it too much, but I needed that power, you know?
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. And I mean, like, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like power is something that is quite prominent in your brand as well.
Yes. I'd say like the entire brand is encapsulated or like kind of like based around power. So like the confidence and the power to believe, but also the power to kind of like have confidence to be yourself, really. So that's the main focus. Yeah,
that's cool. Beautiful. And for anyone listening again who is trying to pursue what they're passionate about, find that purpose or take action or create something that they truly believe on, what would be one thing that you can recommend for them to do?
I'd say refine what you kind of want to market in a sense, or kind of what you want to pursue. So refine that so it's really definite, and always use social media to your advantage, I think. So always post about things and just use it to your advantage, because you couldn't even, like, I don't even have a physical like store or anything yet, but I've used an online presence to create a presence, you know. So
absolutely. And oh my gosh, like in this day and age, there is so many like digital nomads and people out there creating stuff like that, because the internet is so accessible. Social media is free, pretty much.
Like it pretty much, I was going to just say that,
Like why, like of course you can pay for extra features and stuff like that, but it's free to set up an Instagram account. Like
exactly,
it's free to take photos.
It's free promotions.
Like there's so much opportunity if you're willing to, again, do the work and take the action.
The time as well. Yeah,
for sure. Because I think a lot of people, it's like, oh, I really want this. I want to create this brand, or I really want to do this business idea, or whatever it is. But no one's willing to actually do work.
Yeah, it's all about the work, I think. And it's just like networking and time, and you got to let things like sit, you know. You got to like not sit in a sense of like not working on it, but like you got to let it simmer, you know. And as I said, like using social media, like I've used my own personal account as like a personal brand to kind of like try to skyrocket the other brand as well. So you got to just like try any avenue kind of thing to boost yourself.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. And for myself and the listeners, how can we serve you and your brand?
As in finding out about me? Is that what you mean?
Anything. Like what can we do for you to support you?
So even naturally, like following what I do on social media. So I have social media accounts, and just the support, I feel like it means the world when people support my social media as well. So that's like what I said, that's my presence to the world. So when people even follow or like or send me a message or comment, that sort of thing, that means as much to me as a purchase as well. So
cool. I love that. So where can we find you on social media?
Yes. So my brand page is raw_war. And then my personal page is Raphael Antoinette. And then the website is rawwar.com.au.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And is there anything that we haven't covered that you wanted to mention or quickly chat about?
I feel like we touched on a lot, but
yeah.
You should like kind of like the final statements is like always find, you should always kind of have avenues where you can exert your energy and be within yourself, and like having your own personal company, you know what I mean? And that's where you can really create amazing things, when you can work with yourself really and by yourself. And then that's when you can bring people in to join the team for sure.
Cool. That's awesome. What a lovely way to end that. Thank you so much for this amazing conversation and the inspiration. I know that I've gotten so much out of this. I'm sure that everyone listening as well has too. So until next time, thank you so much.
It's an honor. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What an amazing conversation. I am blown away, and I have got so much like knowledge and golden nuggets out of that conversation, especially the success formula where preparation meets opportunity, which equals success. And I think that a really big one was firstly, you know, being true to you and having that uniqueness, because when creating a personal brand or putting yourself out there, you are the difference that makes you unique, which people are going to gravitate towards. And we need to embrace that so much more, especially if you're wanting to launch a personal brand or do something online. And I loved how Antoinette talked about the sustainable growth and that just making small amounts of growth then creates that, you know, long-term success of a brand or a business, because it's so easy to get caught up in the overnight success. And I just loved as well how to deal with that criticism and the comments that aren't so encouraging. And I know that a lot of people mean well, but sometimes if they're not on the same belief pattern or have the same inspiration or vision as you, there can be, you know, conflict or a bit of resistance in them supporting what you're doing. So just know that you are doing what's right for you. And if this vision and idea is important, go ahead and do it. Your ideas and dreams matter. Your voice matters. Your message matters. And what you have to share with the world matters. So I encourage you to go out and just take one step forward to make that happen. And if you are wanting to follow Antoinette, you can find her on Instagram at raw_war, or head over to her website, which is www.rawwar.com.au. And don't forget, if you're wanting to make this year different and follow your dreams, you can download my New Year Vision workbook at mdouglas.com/workbook, which will help you create that foundations to get that vision for yourself for the year and set those goals that are going to get you closer to making your dream a reality. I hope you've enjoyed this, and don't forget to subscribe if you want to keep up to date with all the latest episodes.